You know, Barbara, I sense that many people, as they're listening to us today, are repenting because they've mishandled God's holy portion, the tithe, the 10%. And that's really what the children of Israel did after they came back from exile. It seems like they learned their lesson. They say, okay, what do we have to do to stay in God's good graces here? Yes. We blew it, and we spent 70 years over there in a foreign nation as slaves, and now God's brought us back here. How do we tithe? And I'd just like to say this to you that are listening today. If you have mishandled God's 10%, that portion that's holy unto the Lord, ask Him to forgive you right now. Make a decision in your heart that you won't ever do that again, and God will help you out of that credit card debt, help you get your house paid off, your cars paid off, and whatever. But you got to get out from under the curse of disobedience and get over into the blessing of obedience.
That's right. It's such, we're going to go into the book of Nehemiah just for a little while here. And it talks about the great emotions that were exhibited in the people and in the leadership, and especially between Nehemiah and Ezra. And these were great men of God who in captivity, they had such favor, Darren, that in captivity, the king who they were serving under saw such loyalty, but also saw sadness, especially with Nehemiah, and said, Nehemiah, why are you so sad? And he was a cupbearer for the king of Persia. And he said, O king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city and the place of my father's tombs lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire? And the king said, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. It's exactly what the king did, Darren. It wasn't the money of the people of that went back to rebuild Jerusalem and the city walls. It was the money of the heathen king and the heathen nation. And I think of that scripture that says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for us to take, because as we are going to be accountable and responsible for doing God's ways with the tithe and the offering, it is going to come back on us through the wicked.
Well, you know, I know some believers, Barbara, they walk around with such favor on their lives. But here's what King Artaxerxes said to Ezra. According to the wisdom of your God, which is in your hand, appoint magistrates and go about your business.
Yes.
He was saying, I see that the wisdom of God is in your hand. Now go forth and do what you feel like you have to do.
And why was the wisdom of God in these men's hands? Because they were learning about God's ways, and they were doing God's ways. They were obedient servants of God. And God wants us to be obedient servants today. He really does. He doesn't want us to question His word. When His word says to do something, we are to do it. I truly believe that, Darren, and I believe that's why they had such favor in going back and rebuilding Jerusalem. So we're going to find out here that one of the first things that they did was to reinstitute the tithe. Yeah, it was. And in Nehemiah 10, verse 37 and 38, we see that the verse that says, we will bring the first of our dough. Now, that's not money then. That is the baked goods that they had in those days. But you could say of my dough, our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the new wine and oil to the priests at the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites. For the Levites are they who receive the tithe in all the towns. So, Darren, it just wasn't in Jerusalem. As the people came back, tithe was being brought into the towns, and the leadership was taking the tithes and blessing the Lord with part of that tithe.
It also said that the Levites shall bring up to the tenth of the tithes to the house of our God, to the chambers
God.
Of the storehouse. It's just saying all the way down, well, let's use a term of today, all up and down the food chain, everybody's supposed to tithe.
That's right.
Everybody is supposed to tithe.
And everybody gets blessed as a result of that. And so here, I cannot imagine the emotions of these people that came back, and at first their town was desolate. There wasn't one live thing in it, probably some jackals and owls lying in there, but this whole city had been torn down.
Well, that's
and
what
trampled
the word says.
Upon.
It was desolate, and only the animals of desolation and wilderness, prey and so on, had moved in there.
Yes. Now, some of you, your life is desolate. It is. You have wasted your life. You cannot see any good from your life, and you say, Father God, what did I do wrong? Well, one of the things that you might have turned away from And we're saying confession is so important here, because as you confess your sin of not being faithful in the tithe, God will forgive you and you can go on from today. Yes, you don't have to make up for what you didn't do in the past years. God will forgive you for that as you confess your sin, and you can start today fresh in tithing. And that's what these people did, Darren. They realized the evil they had committed, how wicked they had been before, how Jerusalem had been desolate and destroyed because of their lack of tithing and obeying God's laws, and now they were going to do them.
And you know, before we get out of here today, I want to pray that the curse will be broken over their lives so they can receive the blessings of Abraham. Mm. And many of you, if you were receiving the blessings of Abraham, you wouldn't have credit card debt, you wouldn't have all these things chasing you and the phone ringing, and you say, oh man, I'll tell you, the knot in my stomach every time the phone rings, because you know a creditor is calling, or you're afraid to go to the door for fear someone's going to serve you with a summons or registered letter or so on. You don't have to live this way.
That's right.
You can get out from under that curse. And one of the ways we're telling you, beginning here, is to say, God, in my heart, even though the numbers don't add up, my budget looks like it will never be healed, it'll never come around, I'm going to tithe no matter what. And Barb, we have several friends that have made that decision, and God has turned their whole deal around.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're no longer driven and, you know, without and that kind of thing. And I think of one family that had a furnace that was broken down. It was real cold here in Colorado. And all they had to heat their house was the oven. But they got together and prayed, and they said, we're going to tithe no matter what. And now God has totally turned their whole lives around.
Amen.
And makes such a difference. And blessings are flowing into their house.
Yeah.
That's what we want for all of you.
Well, when we obey God, when we become obedient servants, and remember that humility comes before honor, and Proverbs talks about that so much. And as we humble ourselves, God is going to exalt us. Here in Nehemiah 12 is one of the greatest chapters on celebration, because the temple is built, the walls are rebuilt through much persecution. Now remember, they had to stop building for a while, and the persecution was heavy. And you're going to have persecution. Yes, you are. And that's even promised to us. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome it for you. But here in Nehemiah 12, we're talking about priests and Levites and people that are getting together to celebrate with songs of thanksgiving. And in the 31st verse, it says here that the leaders of Judah came up on the top of the wall. And Nehemiah is saying here, I appointed two great choirs, the first proceeding to the right on top of the wall toward the refuse gate, and half of the leadership took those choirs, and some of the sons of the priests with prophets, Zechariah the son of Jonathan, and Shemaiah, and Mattaniah, and Micaiah, and his kinsmen. There were many trumpets, and at the fountain gate they went directly up the steps of the city of David by the stairway of the wall above the house of David to the water gate on the east. Now this had been all totally rebuilt, totally rebuilt. And the second choir proceeded to the left, while I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the Tower of Furnaces to the broad wall above the gate of Ephraim by the old gate. Now, some of you who've been to Israel, to Jerusalem, you understand all this, and I haven't been. But I know there was great exultation and enthusiasm. And in verse 43, it says, and on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced, so the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. On that day men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions required by law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who served. This is so good, Darren, because the priests and the Levites performed the worship of their God and the service, and together with the singers and the gatekeepers, everybody was rejoicing here, singing and rejoicing and blowing the trumpets.
In other words, God's economy was set in operation.
Oh, yes.
And when we get outside of God's economy, in other words, his way of doing things, we cannot expect his full blessing on our lives. And I believe with all my heart, those curses can be broken, folks. And some of you are living, you know, clear under the curses. I really mean that. You need to break that curse. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, when you mishandle the tithe, if you've taken it for something else, I don't like to tell you this, but you've been a thief. You've stolen from God. I mean,